As we honor God's word here at Second Baptist Church. Let's read together one of my favorite passages and a very powerful passage of scripture as we begin a new year ahead of us from Philippians 3, 12 to 17. Let's read it in unison. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. You may be seated. If it's all right with you, I'm going to stay right here this morning. I might do some prancing around. I don't know. But I really like the idea of starting from scratch, don't you? I did something really weird and uncharacteristic of myself a couple of weeks ago. And that is, I took my mother's, bless her heart, her old recipe out of a recipe box that she had given to us. It was a recipe for molasses biscuits. Anybody ever eat molasses biscuits? They are the best. Well, I took that recipe out of the box, and I thought for sure this was going to be a major event in my life to be able to make molasses biscuits, because, you know, I have trouble even boiling water. And I, guess what? I made them. And they came out okay. I'm not sure how many would want to eat them, but I had one, and I said, you know, my mother would have been proud of me for making her recipe of molasses biscuits. Well, I like the idea of taking stuff and mixing them up, and I guess you kind of get hooked to some of these things. Starting from scratch, starting anew, starting fresh, turning a new leaf, if you will, a new page, and taking another kick at the can, if you would. I like that idea. And that's what we have to look forward in 2018. We have another opportunity to take another kick at the can. Of course, I'm speaking metaphorically and I'm speaking symbolically. And what I'm really referring to is, you know, living as Christians and serving Christ and knowing him better and being able to share his word in a more powerful way in 2018. New Year's resolutions, well, some people take resolutions and they take them seriously. I do for about an hour or 2 hours, and that's about it. They're easy to make, but they're hard to keep. I don't know if you've ever tried them, but I have many, many times, and they haven't lasted very long. A couple once told me that their New Year's resolution was to stop smoking. They were in their 50s, and they had smoked all their adult lives. And, so I knew this would be a real difficult challenge for them. When I saw them on January 5th or 6th, I asked them, well, how's your New Year's resolution going to quit smoking? Well, she said, When I woke up on Christmas, on New Year's Day, we did what we always do. Made a cup of coffee, got the newspaper, started to read it, and sat down and had a cigarette together. Well, a few minutes later, Buddy said, "Well, hey, I forgot it's January 1st. And we were supposed to quit smoking today. We're supposed to quit it." And I said, "Well, it looks like he blew it." Well, he said, "Well, we'll just have to try again next year. Have to try again." And so I don't know how many years in a row they tried doing the same thing, coming up with the same resolution, but blowing it every year. Resolutions are a good idea. It's good to examine areas in our lives that need improvement, right? We all need improvement. It's good to strive to be better. But you quickly learn that making a change, no matter how major or how minor that change is not always as easy as you think it might be. You really want a different life. It requires determination. It requires persistence, doesn't it? The attitude of getting at it, keeping at it, and sticking at it. Well, I want to share with you this morning, talk to you about a little bit about perspective. That the main thing that holds us back more than anything else is the way we think and the way we have perspective on things. You see, our attitude determines our altitude so much of the time. Our attitude determines our altitude, our perspective. I don't know if you've ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Norman Vincent Peale, but he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. He was an icon back in the 50s. And he says, you change your thoughts and you change your world. Now, I think he may have picked that up from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. He says this, that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Unfortunately, our minds, well, sometimes our minds get lost in the shuffle. Sometimes our minds are a little bit far out there. We're not really in tune with reality. Sometimes our minds are far away from what God has in mind for us. So the first step in creating change is to change the way you think. Are you with me? To change the way you think. It's the first step. It's not the only step. You can merely think positive or positive think your way to success, as Norman Vincent Peale says so many times. Well, even though I like that term positive thinking, there's a better term we can use. And I like to think of it in this way. I like to think of it in the way that Paul, as we read this scripture this morning, puts it out before us. That we should strive to become action-oriented. To think about actions, not just words. We are very good with our words. We're very good with making promises. We're very good at least planning stuff and maybe even coming up with some kind of strategy even. But as far as our actions are concerned, well, sometimes we leave our actions behind in the dust. And so I believe that in 2018, as we begin this year, God wants us to become action-oriented thinkers and action-oriented doers. The Bible says that we're not just to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word. And that's sometimes where we fall flat on our faces. becoming doers of the word. Well, I'd like to see us become doers. I'd like to become more of a doer myself. I'm good at talking, and many of you are as well. I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm pointing them back to me because I know I can talk a streak, and I can put something into perspective, and I can make... My wife says I have this gift of making things look good. Well, I don't know. But anyway, what she really says is that you're a good talker, and you can talk your way out of a paper bag with holes in it. But I believe God wants us not just to be talkers, but doers. And that is something that fits into who we are as individuals. And I believe it also is something that relates to who we are as a church body. The body of Christ, Second Baptist Church, here in Bodenham, Maine. We have lots of good intentions many times, but sometimes we fall short in taking steps of faith to get us where we need to be. I believe God wants us to head in a direction, and I believe He wants us to be doers of the Word so that we can glorify Him and touch people for Him. The Apostle Paul epitomized action-oriented thinking, and he epitomized action-oriented doing. And when you read the writings that he has given to us in the New Testament, you see that Paul the Apostle was a man of great faith, of great character. He was an optimist in so much of the way. He was a positive thinker. As you read the writings of the Apostle Paul, he was positive. He looked at the glass as being half full, not half empty, like some of us do. He was a positive thinker. And most of all, he was a man of action. He followed through with what he said he was going to do. He didn't just talk about the way things ought to be. He took action over and over and over again. We read it in the New Testament. No wonder he experienced such dramatic change in his life. He went from being violent. He went from being intolerant. From being self-servant and self-righteous to becoming a humble, holy, fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe God wants of each of us. Because when the new birth comes to our lives, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, He is able to do that which we cannot do ourselves. He is able to unleash us to our full potential in Him. So I want us this year to think positively so that we can act positively. No matter where it might be, whether it's in our homes, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, wherever it is, wherever God leads us this year. A lot of it has to do with our thinking, with our attitudes. And so there are three adjustments we need to make in our way of thinking, in our way of doing. Write them down if you'd like. And maybe use this as sort of a ruler or as a guide or as a measuring stick through the year so that you can see where you've come from, where you've gone to. The first one is this, that we need to focus on our long-term goals, not just short-term resolutions. Short-term resolutions don't last very long, do they? We may have good intentions, and we may mean well, but many, many times we fall flat on our faces. We need to focus on the long-term goals. Both of these things are important. But if you really want to create lasting change in your life, you have to, we have to develop a sense of what the big picture is. Whatever that big picture is, whatever you believe God's will is for you. You may ask the question, well, how do I know God's will? Well, You know God's will by getting to know God more. You know God's will by digging into His Word more. You know God's will by having a hunger and a thirst for God. You can't do it if you sit home on Sunday morning. You can't do it if you are not in the Word. You can't do it if you do not spend time with God. You can't do it if you're not in fellowship with other believers. So the big picture is what I believe God is interested in. And I believe it's what will bring glory to Him and will bring satisfaction to your heart, to your life. You see, when you look at your New Year's resolutions, you ask the question, well, what is the ultimate goal behind this resolution? What's the goal behind, for example, quitting smoking? Now, I hope not too many of you have that problem. But if you do, and if that's a goal of yours, and I don't believe that God will send anybody to hell for smoking, okay? So don't, there are some who may think that. But I don't believe God will send anybody to hell for smoking. But it's, look at the focus that needs to be looked at. Number one, it's going to give you better health, right? Number one, it's going to give you better health. Number two, what's another benefit, I suppose? Money, yeah, money. You know, I smoked when I was a teenager, and it was $2 a pack back then, and I thought that was a lot. What is it now? $6-$7. My brothers who work in Northern Canada, they pay $17 for a pack of cigarettes right now. That's up in Canada. I don't recommend it. If you can stay away from it, that's good. That's healthy. There are some benefits to something like that. Many people say that if they want to get rid of maybe a certain sin in your life. And this is where you have to fill in the blank, because, you know, all of us have a little bit of sin, right? You know, I don't see anybody in here that's perfect, except for George. I don't see anybody in here that's perfect. But every single one of us have a struggle in one area of our lives or the other. You know, some of us have problems with overeating. Some of us have problems with jealousy. Some of us have problems with this, that, and everything else. So, if we're to get rid of these things, these negative things, these bad things in our lives in 2018, we need to ask ourselves, well, why? Why do we want to eliminate these things from our lives? Why do we need to eliminate these sins from our lives? Because it's embarrassing? Because it's inconvenient? Because it's expensive? Because it's, you know, my spouse nags at me all the time about it? Is that why? Or is it because I want to please God? Is that the reason? Is it because I want to do what Jesus would do? Remember that old slogan, WWJD? What would Jesus do? Is that why? Our long-term goals answer the question of why and help keep us focused on the right reasons for improving our lives and making our lives better. And when we make our lives better as Christians, we also make our church life better. It has that trickle-down effect, if I can use that term. It has that snowballing effect, if I can say. But this is what Paul says. He says, I want to know Christ, in verse 10. I want to know Christ. That's my goal. That's what gets me up in the morning. That's what gets me through the day. That is my ambition. That is my passion. That is everything I am. Everything that I represent is the fact that I want to know Christ in verse 10. and the power of his resurrection in my life, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him into his death. That was Paul's mission statement, if you will. And so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Well, everything else is just kind of filler. Everything else is just filling in. And so it was for this cause he said this in verse number 14. Look at what Paul says. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. What's the prize? The prize is someday being in heaven with Jesus. The prize is knowing fully the love of God in my heart. The prize is knowing the blessings that when I put my trust in God, everything will be fine. I press on. And what a great goal that is for 2018. But how do we press on? That's the question. That's the issue. Paul struggled towards holiness in his life, not so that he could impress others, or not that he could feel good about himself. He did it so that he could be like Jesus. That's what ought to be our motivation, dear friends. So that we can be like Jesus. Have you ever met someone who seems to be very good, very ethical, but they're not really interested in spiritual things? There are tons of people all around us like that. They're missing the whole point of being good. Good, everyday, regular, good living people. But they don't have Christ. It's not not about being able to pat ourselves in the back or being able to look at ourselves in the mirror. It's about living a life that pleases God and glorifies Jesus Christ. You see, when you make a resolution, you need to ask yourself, why is this important to me? Why? Focus on the goal behind the resolution. What's the goal? Like that bullseye that Teresa had up here. What a great illustration that was. The second thing is this, that we need to focus on progress, not perfection. On progress. Now, perfection is the objective in any New Year's resolution. Oh, there's the ideal. Some of us would like to be at the ideal weight. Some of us would like to be at an ideal situation in our lives where everything is perfect, where there's no more problems, where there's no more issues, if you will. But let's just face it. We're not perfect. Let's just face it. We're not going necessarily to get there, to be perfect. If you want to stop yelling at the kids, you want to stop yelling at them 100% of the time, is, you know, not just 50% of the time. Well, if you want to start walking a mile every day, you know, that's a good goal, I suppose. You want to do it every day. You want to do that every day, not just once a month. Some of us say, well, I'm going to walk a mile a day. Oh, boy, that's a great thought. But that thought stays there. It doesn't get out on the road. It doesn't do much. You cannot expect perfection immediately because God doesn't expect it of you. And it's wrong to expect it of yourself. And I guess that's a lesson I've learned over time. Paul recognized that changes don't always take place overnight. Sometimes it takes time for changes to take place. But he knew there was no reason to give up. You know, sometimes if we're not able to lose that 10 pounds or that 20 pounds, we just give up. And we say, what's the use? Why even bother? Why even try? Well, Paul said this. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Paul even himself recognized that he wasn't perfect. And we look at the Apostle Paul and we say, oh boy, if only I was like him. But even Paul said he's not perfect. But in verse 13 he says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What's he saying? He's saying, day by day, I step forward. I keep moving forward. I may not be perfect now, but I keep pressing toward the mark. You talk to anybody who's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and one of their favorite slogans is, one day at a time. One day at a time. You know, why worry about tomorrow? It hasn't come yet. Yesterday's gone. And many people who are obsessed with alcoholism or drug addiction, you know, if they can just get through that one day, then that is a major, major victory. And maybe as Christians, we need to look at it that way as well. To get one day at a time. That's all God has given us, is one day, right? And so, one day at a time, day by day, I keep moving forward. Not in my own strength, not in my own power, not in my own wisdom, but in God's. As I grow closer to Him, in my relationship with Him, the more I sense the fact that I'm moving forward in faith. I may not be perfect now, but I keep pressing toward the mark. Let's face it, there are mornings when you feel like, you know, some of these cold mornings especially, you feel like just going right back to bed. And you feel like just not getting out of bed. And you feel like not even trying. Have you ever had that day, kind of thinking as a Christian? Most of us have. You see, when we're action-oriented, the focus is on progress. And sometimes progress means baby steps. Baby steps. A little tiny step. And that's how little babies start, right? Baby steps. They take a little. You ever watch a baby starting to walk for the first time? They get up. And they stagger, and they fall down. And then they build up a little confidence, and it's always exciting to watch a child take their first step. Oh boy, there's nothing more exciting than that. And you see them take that first step, and it's as though, aha, I got it! And so you see them going a few more steps, and then you see them fall down. You know, that's the way it is for us. We take those baby steps sometimes. We learn to walk. We learn to get through some things. And we move on. And God is interested in progress, not perfection. Not perfection. And I believe if that's something that you can take with you through the year ahead, and realize it when it comes to fighting some of those giants in your life, some of those obstacles in your life, then I believe that will take you a long way. Taking those baby steps. Being interested in progress, not perfection. And the final thing we see here in this passage, as we look forward to 2018, we need to focus on the how, not just the what. We know what the what is, right? All kinds of whats. The what part is easy. We know what we want. We know what we've got to do. But how are we going to do it? We just don't always know how to get there. We just don't always know how it's going to happen. It's easy to say, I want to be a great parent. Or in my case, I want to be a great grandparent. Well, not a great grandparent, but a great. You know what I'm saying. Knowing exactly how to make it happen isn't always easy. It's easy to say, I want to have a happy marriage. Knowing how to have a happy marriage isn't always easy. Not always easy. The how part requires a little bit of thought. The how part requires a little bit of planning. The how part requires a little bit of strategy. You see, you have to develop a strategy for getting from where you are to where you want to be. So what's your strategy for 2018? You know what it is, but how are you going to get to where you need to go? How's it going to happen? How's it all going to fall in place? How are you going to be a better Christian this time next year compared to what you are today? How are you going to have victories over certain areas in life? What's your strategy? Well, prayer, God's Word, interaction, fellowship with other believers. I believe one of the greatest blessings of this church is there are people here that will come alongside you and help you out. If you need a little coaching, we've got some master coaches here. Great coaches. Great mentors. People who have gone through it. People who have experienced all the ups and downs and the turmoils of life. And they've been there and they've done that. And their wisdom could be very valuable to you. You see, whatever your goal might be, you need a strategy to make it happen. Now, I'm talking also about this church as well. We need to have a strategy. We need to have a strategy to get where we need to go. And I believe God wants us to go somewhere. I don't think God's very pleased when he looks down upon us on a Sunday morning and sees three quarters of this church empty. And I'm not casting dispersions on anybody. I'm not trying to have anybody go on a guilt trip or anything like that or point fingers. It's just the way it is in most churches today. Many churches all over the landscape throughout the state of Maine. This is a very typical church. But we need to think very seriously as to how we can get from here to there, from point A to point B. It may require some difficult choices. It may require some changes in attitude. It may require some changes in tradition. It may require changes in our methods, methodology. It may require a change of heart. It may require that we perhaps re-examine the scriptures to see maybe we're missing something. Maybe God has something for us that we really need to take a look at. And may require a step of faith in doing some things that maybe gets us out of our comfort zone or, you know, makes us uncomfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable. But when change comes and when change happens, there's always that risk of being uncomfortable. We don't like that. Sometimes we balk against that. Sometimes we're very uncomfortable. But if God is moving in our midst, if God wants to work in our midst, it may require that we take a good, long look at ourselves to see where we need to change. And then by His grace, follow Him and trust Him. Well, as we look forward to 2018, you know, God wants us to create lasting change in our lives. If we want this year to be different ahead, and we don't know what's going to be ahead of us, we may need to change the way we think on certain things. It's not about thinking positively or negatively. It's about thinking biblically and responding biblically. You don't say the glass is half empty or half full. You say, I need more water. How can I get it? That's the attitude there. And so I pray that this year would be a year when we would look to God and His power. That He would give us strength to make progress along the way. See, our God is a God of action. He is a God of, He's a doer. We need to become a people of action. And it's the only way to create lasting change in our lives and in the lives of people that we love. If we want this year to be different, then we need to make a choice today. And I want to encourage you to go home and pray about this. To make a choice today to be action-oriented and saying, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. I will make changes in my life, in my attitude, in my way of doing things, what you want me to do. But Lord, show it to me. Reveal it to me. Make yourself known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. And as we begin a new year, these are some solemn thoughts. These are some important matters. And I believe, Lord, that you are intimately acquainted with all our ways, that you desire the very best of us. Lord, I pray that it would start with me as the pastor and the shepherd of this church, and it would just spread to each and every one, and that we would do your will and do your bidding. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.